Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest sports columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing.
No, you ain't writing nothing.
I ain't letting him write.
He ain't getting no interview.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I don't get no interview. I know. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. Cause I'll make you ugly as soon as it drops. We're on a rampage, bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble in the dust, cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say,
you better run. Yeah, I'm with the earthquake.
Parenthood is what it is, it's a perpetual joy, but it can also cut into your preparation. I was preparing hard for the show today and got a text: can you bring me a binder from your house? Mom doesn't have one and I really need one. This is from young Peter at school.
Is this the direct result because you live closer to school?
No, it's just because, like, he'll do this. No. She was with her last night, and I don't know why he turned to me for the binder. Honestly, she's probably at work. She works at Ralsak, so she's further away. So I said, what binder? Now? He said, yeah, as soon as possible. Any binder, just an empty binder. And so I found an empty binder and brought it to school. I am still aware that the Carolina Panthers didn't look good last night, despite my having to interrupt my preparation for the show for the all-important binder delivery. And I'm sure any parent out there totally relates. The most ridiculous delivery I ever did, of course, was the day that Peter texted me and said, Dad, I forgot my shoes. Could you bring my shoes?
Didn't he have one shoe?
No, he forgot his shoes. No, he just had no shoes. That day had no shoes. He forgot his shoes. So then I had to bring him shoes. Anyway, it is Friday. That means Jason Smith's going to be here, and I'm looking forward to that. It is Friday, and that means, well, it is any day. It is a day, and that means Chris Harrington is going to be here, and I am looking forward to that. And it is Friday, and that means Jeffrey's going to make you a whole lot of money, and you should be looking forward to that. How did I just roughly, without summarizing, without any details, did you make us money or lose us money?
We're on to week three.
We're moving on to week three. Week three is an opportunity. Listen, it's not about timing the market. It's time in the market, right? And you just have to stick through the highs and the lows.
Jeff, there's a little thing called an opportunity cost.
Right, exactly right. So I'm going to guess that last week was not our best week ever. And that sets up this week to be the best week ever for Jeffrey as he makes you loads and loads of money. A few things I want to get to very quickly. One is, and I'll talk to Jason Smith about this, today is a big day for the University of Memphis basketball program because Jaden Springer is arriving for a visit. And Jaden Springer is a number 20 ranked player in the country, five-star guard, goes to IMG, and he is down to Memphis, Michigan, and UT. And everyone says he's going to UT. That's the general assumption, that the kid is going to UT. Among other things, Bobby Mays, who you may recall played for UT, is his youth basketball coach. And so there's this general feeling that he's a lock for UT. In fact, the crystal ball is 100% for UT. Well, John Martin, who is on this radio airways from 11 until 2 and tends to have a very good sense of things when it comes to recruiting, writes for a website that I can't name. John, I come to you for a lot of things. Profound ain't one of them. No, but recruiting is. And he writes for a website that I would will not name for fear that a giant trap door will open up and I will be swallowed up by it. But at this website that I can't name, he has a piece up about Jaden Springer, and he is suggesting that Memphis has a real shot. That and the point that he makes is that Penny does not have a history of chasing guys fruitlessly. Indeed, like Terrence Clark, for example, had a visit scheduled with Terrence Clark earlier and canceled it. Why? Because everyone knew he was going to Kentucky. So why the hell waste your time? So there is a prevailing feeling that, yeah, everyone thinks he's locked up for UT, but Memphis would not be wasting this visit if Memphis didn't think they had a shot. And furthermore, that there are others, including Precious Achiuwa, who were highly skeptical of the idea. Lester Canona said so, that most people assumed that Precious Achiuwa would be headed elsewhere. Penny has a history of flipping dudes. Let's be clear. Precious Jew was supposed to go to Carolina or Kansas or somewhere, but not Memphis. And what do you know that Memphis emerges with Precious Achiuwa? And so, boy, that would irritate Tennessee fans. Right now, there's a nice little rivalry percolating. Well, you can argue whether Ole Miss and Memphis football is a rivalry, whatever you want. I think it is, but you can argue it whatever you want. You can certainly argue whether Tennessee and Memphis football is a rivalry, whatever you want. But you have to concede that Tennessee and Memphis basketball is a rivalry at this point, yes?
It currently checks every box. Like, they're recruiting for the same kids. They are playing.
They play each other. They're recruiting for the same kids, and they don't like each other.
Exactly.
And there's bad feelings among the fan bases. And listen, everyone might say, people on both sides might say, oh, yeah, we have a bigger rivalry. And Tennessee, but if you ask Tennessee fans what game they would most like to win this coming year in basketball, Kentucky's probably one. And Kentucky's too.
Yeah, I think at this point, I do.
Just because they hate Penny.
Well, and I also think that it would be ahead of Florida. Because like
Memphis is, they'd rather beat Memphis than Florida.
Yeah, I think so.
There's no question. There's emotion wrapped up in the Memphis thing, and so now, and they haven't historically, they haven't really gone head to head on recruiting on particular recruits since Penny's been here. That they haven't clashed over particular recruits since Penny was here, but now they are evidently over Jaden Springer, and so that is happening today. Also, second thing I wanted to get to very quickly that we'll talk to Chris Harrington about. Is Marc Gasol. There are still some people out there who insist, it's a very small, disturbed minority, that Marc Gasol is not good at basketball. You know those people. There's about 8 of them. You hear from all the time, Memphis fans who, whatever else, refuse to embrace Marc. Marc Gasol is going to win he already won an NBA title, and he may well win a FIBA title, and he's not going along for the ride. He is carrying that team. 33 points. As they defeat Australia in double OT in the semifinals, 95-88, he could win the FIBA World Championship and an NBA Championship in the same year. And if you read his quotes, it's just why I like him.
And overall, we want to.
He basically said, I mean, think of all the Americans who skipped this damn thing, right? Think of them all.
Well, it's go to every American on the top 25.
Yeah, they all skipped it. And Mark had, like Mark played deep into the playoffs. They were they won the championship.
Last I checked, he did play in the last game
he
of the year.
He played in the last game of the year. And had every reason to say, no, you know, I think I'll take the time off. But he, honestly, he feels like he owes his career to the Spanish national team. He left Lausanne as a fatso. And Memphis only wanted him to walk on. And what happens? He goes, he joins the Spanish national program, and that's how he learned to be a professional.
And he got away from the big Big Mac.
And he got away from the big Big Mac. And,
little column A.
But he's very clear about that, watching those players. And so he says it's not even just isn't about winning the gold medal. This is about my responsibility to the Spanish national team to do for the young players what players once did for me. Like, I don't know how you can't like the guy, honestly. It has always mystified me how you can't like the guy, the few who don't like the guy. They last won a gold medal, a FIBA gold medal, in 2006 when Mark was on that team and he was 21 years old.
Correct.
And now they can win it again.
Also, the last time America did not win.
So shout out to my man Marc Gasol for that. And so those are the two things that I wanted to address right out. There's a story out of Knoxville. I don't know if you saw this. Like, it's been a wild week for Knoxville. You got the football disasters, right?
Yes.
Then you've got Jeremy Pruitt saying that comparing the football program to the Titanic.
I did like how yesterday on the afternoon show, Blake Topmeyer joined us, and Blake Topmeyer said, it was one of those situations when you're watching it and you know it's going off the rails, but he was just caught up in the metaphor. Like, he's
I bet
just
the
lost
fans
it.
Didn't notice it either. Like, the fans didn't stop and think, oh my gosh, they were just, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they gave him a standing O on the way in.
Well, that was the quarterback club meeting after it. And that was kind of the weird distinction that Blake was making, how, you know, and then he goes on Vol Call, I believe on Tuesday night, that you can hear, of course, on 99FM ESPN. And he was he gave a real answer, like thanked them for the support.
Yeah.
And and so it is kind of weird to see where, like, he has have some self-awareness, but it doesn't display itself at all times. So,
well,
I don't know.
I understand what
debate.
Happens is what often happens is you see lots of quotes where people grab a quote that they know about, right? That there's a quote out there. And they grab it, and it is a commonly used quote or thought, and they just mangle it, right? That's what happened there.
Yes.
The metaphor of rats leaving a ship, right?
Right.
Is a real metaphor that's out there in life. Bunch of rats leaving the ship, right?
Right.
Like, whatever. Now, the problem with it is that metaphor involves a sinking ship.
Correct.
And that's the real problem. He happened to personalize the ship and make it the Titanic. Anyway, there was that. There was the loss. There was that. Then there was the great recovery when UT was incredibly sweet and lovely to the kid who was being bullied, who had made his own UT shirt.
All-time great moment.
All-time great moment. Really, maybe my favorite T-shirt of all time.
Yes. Great moment.
They made it into an official T-shirt, and then they offered him a scholarship. You're saying, my gosh, UT, for all your troubles, you've shown your big heart.
Yes.
Now the story comes out that The Rock, which is a famous landmark where they used to wanted to
not buy, Dwayne Johnson,
right? Not that. There's a physical rock that
painting the rock.
That painting the rock is a thing.
A gimmick they stole from Pepperdine.
They've got a rock at Northwestern too. Like, I think lots of people paint a rock.
Pepperdine's way younger than Tennessee.
Someone painted on the rock. Jews did 9/11.
Wait, what?
Yeah. No. Someone painted on the rock, Jews did 9/11. You can look at the story I've tweeted at.
Well, that is a take.
And now it has been covered up with signs of love and support, and they're rallying against it. But I guess what I get from this is that people are incredibly great, and people are incredibly awful. There tend to be different people. Sometimes it's the same people. can be great and awful. But I would venture to say that anyone who had the good grace to help that bullied kid would not be any of the same people who were involved in this blatantly anti-Semitic slogan, hateful.
And factually inaccurate?
And, well, I mean, that goes without saying. Weird conspiracy, hateful, just loathsome thing to paint on the rock. It has been a weird ass week for Tennessee, and I'm gonna
That's a lot of range.
I'm just gonna choose to remember what they did for the kid who was bullied. Anyway, we'll talk about all of this. We'll talk about Mark Gasol's performance more with Chris Harrington, and we'll talk about the Jaden Springer story more with Jason Smith when he rolls in here. But in the meantime, there was a football game last night.
Was there?
And I would ask you, going forward, just for the rest of the year, if your goal were to win games for the rest of the year, you want Jameis Winston, you want Cam Newton? That is an inconceivable question, by the way, to ask. It is an inconceivable question that one would actually ask that question. It's like asking if you would want Nate Peterman or Tom Brady, right? But given what we have seen that Cam Newton has become, I think it's a legit question.
Okay, I'm still going with Cam Newton, and it's not like running my head into a wall. Here are the reasons that I would go with Cam Newton. Andrew Luck, if you recall last year, was also coming off shoulder surgery. And remember that first 6 weeks, you and I were kind of having the same discussion. Is this done?
Because
remember, his arm did not look good. And then the last 11 weeks of the year, he was one of the best quarterbacks in the league. And so I'm choosing to believe in that. Also,
do you really, by the way, okay, well, put aside the because Jameis Winston isn't much of a choice here, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He had a decent game last night. I mean,
Bruce
Arians was, like, raving about him, and I don't know why you would rave about him after 16 for 25, 208 yards, a touchdown, no picks. I guess it's the no picks. You rave about him
and that because was, he didn't. That was more luck than
and
anything.
And there was certainly some luck involved in that. I guess the question is, do you believe Cam Newton's cooked? He's going to be owed a lot of money after this year. Do you pay Cam Newton the money?
God.
Or is he cooked? I'll tell you what really.
I mean, I'm going to need to see. My deal is I have to see. I don't want to rush to judgment because to me it looks physical. It doesn't look to me like it's.
Yeah, but physical can
right,
last.
That's what I'm saying. But if it's
he obviously hasn't forgotten.
Correct.
It is purely physical. But when
and
you,
my question is,
when
is like,
Peyton Manning was physical at the end, he couldn't play and he never could play again.
Right, but this is a shoulder versus the neck. Like to
it
me,
is, yeah, but it's a shoulder.
I want to see.
Here's the question. To me, the most bracing thing was that team had 2 4th-and-1s.
Yeah.
Cam Newton is the most effective 4th-and-1 weapon in the league. You don't have to hand it off. You don't have to do anything else. You just got to give it to Cam Newton, and he leans forward, and you get a yard.
Yes.
Like, it is – that is a weapon.
Yes.
On both of the 4th-and-1s, they declined to even use him. One was an incomplete pass. One was to Christian McCaffrey. Both stuffed.
A direct snap to the short side of the field.
And
faking a reverse. A slow-developing direct snap to the short side of the field.
Yes. Curious play call. But very clearly, not using Cam Newton for that. And so apart from the fact that he's lost his last 8 starts, apart from the fact that he was last night on routes where a receiver was open by 3-plus yards.
Yes.
Wide open.
Yep.
He completed 61% of his passes.
Yep.
On those passes. We're not talking about thread and needles. We're saying wide open.
Yeah.
He was only barely, whatever, 61%. And apart from the fact that on throws of 15 yards or more this year, he is 4 of 15, 27%.
Yes.
That's awful. No. All of those things, awful. And then he wears a bonnet to his press conference. I don't think, by the way, the bonnet, I don't think anyone who says he should spend more time on quarterback and less time on his wardrobe, I don't think those people have much of a point. I don't think one has anything to do with the other. He is a colorful dresser, certainly, in his own unique Cam style. But if he were awesome, no one would care. Like, would be just having a hoot over
it. It's like
him.
With Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, exactly. It's the same
thing. No one makes fun of Russell Westbrook when he's playing well, but then afterwards it's like, oh, he went and got the Joker collection.
So where are you on Cam?
Okay, here were two things. You mentioned the fourth and ones. So the very first possession of the game, it's fourth and one, and Carolina tries to go for it, running a read option with Cam, the standard play that we've seen Cam do, I don't know, hundreds of times. It gets stuffed, and it might have been a bad spot. This was the point in the game where they had two functional cameras. And by only
having— That was weird, too, by the way.
That was quite strange. Now, having been a degenerate myself, it brought me back to there was a Miami game last year where this happened, where there were only two cameras, and it was just awful to watch. Like, it was even worse than this because the cameras were, apparently one of the cameras was like at the top of Hard Rock Stadium or whatever it's now in Miami. And so at least with this one, we had Skycam. Like, it kind of, like, you were like, okay, it feels like I'm playing Madden a little bit. I know the internet, I hate this, but at least I can see how bad of decisions Jameis makes in real time. Like, that was fascinating. So it felt like from the moment that that play got stuffed that they were just like, well, we can't run that on fourth and short anymore. Like, that's done. And so that was peculiar. The bigger issue for me is Cam spent time last week commenting about how Christian McCaffrey must have been drafted by Norv Turner on his fantasy football team. And I'm a ride or die Cam guy, but at the same time, I can also acknowledge he's a diva. There was a play last night where he could have easily, like, he breaks the pocket. He could have easily flipped it to McCaffrey. It was deep in the red zone. It was like a first down play. And it would have gained maybe 5 yards at most, but at least it would have gained 5 yards. And you could have had a different option on second down. And it's just like he flips it out of bounds. It was very obvious that he saw McCaffrey, but he just like flipped it out of bounds. And I'm sitting there like going, this could be a hot take, but it also, knowing what I know about Cam, I think, like, legitimately, like, he is now, like, at the point where he's jealous of McCaffrey and the attention and the popularity he gets. And I just think Cam's in a really bad spot personally while also being in a really bad spot physically.
You think he is not using McCaffrey?
If you would have watched last night, it was
because,
bad.
Well, they certainly bottled up McCaffrey.
He wouldn't even check it down to him. He wouldn't.
This is an interesting take. You think he is so into his head about jealousy over McCaffrey that he won't appropriately use the best weapon he has?
It certainly looked like it last night.
In order to win games.
It certainly looked like it last night.
If that is true, that is one effed up Cam.
I'm telling you, that's what it looked like last night.
Man. Neither of these teams look like they're going to be particularly relevant.
No, these look like the two worst teams in the South.
Yeah. Neither team looks like it's going to be particularly relevant. I got an email the other day from the bank that I had been using before I switched to Triumph Bank, and it said, hey, we're changing our name. And it just reminded me of why Triumph Bank is such a good idea. As I've said before, I have my own personal banker at Triumph Bank, Holly Bronson, and she ended up at Triumph Bank because she had worked in banking, and she just got sick of it. She got sick of one bank being swallowed up by another bank, being swallowed up by another bank, basically it was swallowed up by another bank. And she'd actually worked at 5 different banks, and those banks did not deliver the kind of service that she wanted to give her customers. And so she talked to the people at Triumph. She said, I consider banking to be a personal relationship gig. It's not just transactional. And can I be that kind of a banker here? And Triumph says, sure. Because that's the kind of bankers we are here. And so she made the switch. It's just funny that I literally, it was this week that I got the email about my old bank. And it's why Triumph is different. And it's why I urge you to give them a try. Triumph is invested in the community and in making banking easy for you. We've got Jason Smith. He's going to join us next. It's the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Hey, it's Felicia from Felicia Suzanne's Restaurant. When was the last time you were downtown for dinner? Why don't you stop by and see us? We're located on Main Street between Madison and Monroe Avenue with parking on Front Street. Looking for a fun place for lunch on Fridays? Join us for our 25-cent martini lunch. You can start with a bowl of chicken and sausage gumbo, braised short rib grilled cheese, or crispy Gulf seafood po' boys. Check us out at FeliciaSuzanne.com.
The third Memphis Food and Wine Festival is back again and set for Saturday, October 12th from 6 p.m. till 10 at the Memphis Botanic Gardens. Sip and sample from the best and enjoy live Memphis music. Tickets are on sale right now at Ticketmaster.
The sports book at the Fitz is now open. So whether you want to make a major wager or try your luck with a couple bucks, do it at the sports book at the Fitz Casino and Hotel. Luck lives here.
Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
Is your business still settling for slow internet? Well, time is money. Switch to Comcast Business now and get a great deal on fast, reliable internet. With a 30-day money-back guarantee, installation when it works for you, and 24/7 customer support, it's time to take your business beyond. Right now, get 75 megabit internet for $49.95 per month for 2 years when you add two voice mobility lines and sign up for paperless billing and auto pay. Plus, we offer solutions like powerful Wi-Fi that thinks about what customers want and automatic internet backup that can keep your business running. So what are you waiting for? Get the internet your business really needs. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business. Beyond fast.
Monthly service charge increases by $10 without paperless billing and auto pay. Offer ends 9/29/19. Restrictions apply. New business customers only. 2-year agreement required. Early termination fee applies. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra subject to change. Backup limited up to 8 hours.
Today, the demand for data analytics professionals is high. The computer and IT sector is projected to grow 12% through 2024. That's nearly 500,000 new jobs. If you are a degreed professional interested in advancing your career in technology, you should check out CBU's Data Analytics Focused Master of Science in Computer Information Systems or their Data Analytics Graduate Certificate. Learn more at the Graduate Info Session October 29th at Christian Brothers University in Midtown Memphis. Register at cbu.edu/graduate.
This is Gary Parrish. The Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar is a great place right next to the University of Memphis campus on the Highland Strip. And if you have an event, a birthday party, a wedding party, a graduation party, any kind of party, book some space at the Bluff. You can rent out any part of the Bluff, the front to the back to the mezzanine, and the place is big enough to accommodate 600 people. They can cater the event for you, or you can provide your own catering, terrific rates, and you can trust that someone on staff is going to be on site to make sure your event is perfect. TheBluffMemphis.com and click the Host Your Event tab to get it booked today. TheBluffMemphis.com.
Let me ask you a question. How do you feel about genetically modified ingredients?
Don't like them.
Artificial flavors and colors?
No thanks.
Clean ingredients.
Now that I like.
When you care about what's in things and what's not, shouldn't your vitamins be clean too? Sundown Vitamins are all clean all the time. Non-GMO, free of gluten and dairy, with colors and flavors from real food. We even have USDA certified Sundown Organics and kids vitamins too. When you're living clean, choose clean with Sundown Vitamins at supermarkets, drugstores, or on Amazon.
I've been around a long time, seeing a lot of gadgets show up that are supposed to make my job easier. Digital screwdrivers, hammer 2.0, the new improved nail, now with more pointiness. You know what really makes my job easier? Grainger. Easy reordering, easy inventory solutions, and easy to do business with every time. Gadgets come and go. You want reliability. You want Grainger. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Show. This is a song by whom, Jeffrey, and why?
The great Eddie Money. Eddie Money has passed away at the age of 70 today.
There you go.
Phenomenal songs.
Eddie Money. What were his other great hits?
Two Tickets to Paradise.
That's probably his biggest, right?
Baby, Hold On to Me.
This was pretty big. I think this was his biggest. Even I know this one.
Really?
Yeah, Take Me Home Tonight.
Did he sing, I love a rainy night, and it make me sad, and I love a rainy night? Is that him, too? Look at it. I love a rainy night. Go ahead. Look that up.
It's coming back.
I love
back
a rainy night.
So his biggest single in the U.S. was...
Take Me Home Tonight.
Take Me Home Tonight reached number 4. Walk on Water reached number 9 on the charts. Baby Hold On reached 11. Two Tickets to Paradise only reached 12. I'm sorry, 22.
Eddie Rabbit. I'm killing off Eddie Rabbit. It's another Eddie.
He did it.
I'm kidding.
You're like my dad with that. You're pretty clever.
No, I didn't mean that. That's not clever. That was just stupid.
Who's the boogie that he mixes up with Boogie Ellis?
Boogie Lyles.
Yeah.
Who was a tiger.
Boogie Lyles.
All right. And it was a history lesson. I had to go back and buy it.
But I didn't kill off either Boogie.
You didn't kill him.
Killing off Eddie Rabbit. Is Eddie Rabbit still alive? Let's just see. Eddie Rabbit. Do you remember the great Eddie Rabbit? That was from the 70s.
Rabbit. Eddie Rabbit died in 1998.
We lost him.
We lost Eddie Rabbit.
He was too young.
The year Tennessee won a national championship, by the way.
Was that 98?
Was it not?
Feels like 98 again.
Yes. And my gosh, it's been a fall since then.
It has been a fall since
listening
then.
To you about Knoxville's week.
Whew.
It's been rough.
Wasn't that rough?
It has, just going through the series of things. My goodness.
Yeah. Okay. Few things to talk
Maybe
about.
Maybe they should do away with that rock or have a camera put on it so they can see that thing.
They do different. Have a camera put on it.
Well, then they should know. That's what I was thinking. They should know who did this, right?
They disabled it.
Oh, the people that did this
disabled
the camera?
I was talking to a UT grad today who told me about this.
It would be like a no-brainer to have a camera.
They feel like someone disabled the cameras.
Well, you got to put them somewhere else then.
And did this. Anyway.
That was awful.
Okay. So a few things I want to talk to you about. One is your co-host has a story up in a publication that we will not name.
Yes.
About Jaden Springer. And the story, given that 247 is pretty much all everyone's assuming that Jaden Springer is going to be a Vol.
Mm-hmm.
The story is holding out hope that the University of Memphis might be able to sway young Jaden Springer.
John getting them clip up. Click up, click up. You hear them clicks. John getting them clicks. The Memphis fans hoping there's hope.
How can they possibly get clicks when we aren't mentioning the name of the publication?
Well, that's a good point. Everybody, come on. Everybody in Memphis knows who John – you can find it on the dark web. Just go, search
the dark,
John Moore. Yeah,
the dark web.
We can't say it, though. I like what you said. A trap door will open and we'll all
fall. It'll be sucked right in there. There's probably snakes and a tiger down there.
He actually makes a great point in the piece, which I think makes it worth writing. Yes, I think that Springer will end up at Tennessee, but it is interesting that Penny
is still after Memphis.
It is very interesting to me that Penny is still going in on. We talked about this with Cade Cunningham, and who Oklahoma State hired his brother Gary, wrote the column about it, talked to you about it as well yesterday. And we said, well, Cal and North Carolina and Roy wouldn't still be going after this kid if they didn't think there was some possibility. Same thing holds true for Penny in this. If you see Penny not canceling, he's already done that with the Terrence Clark kid. You know, if you see Penny not canceling, still going through with it, you got to feel like he believes he's still got a shot. And so that's why this was worth writing. I still think it's Tennessee. And clearly most do. All do, it appears. But what I will never rule out is Penny having a shot, getting in a room with him.
Well, and
we've seen what he can do.
You put Penny and Mike and that group. Who have they missed on? Like the first year they missed on. Like whoever that player was.
The Ramsey kid that went Jemias or whatever his name was.
He missed on some people. Did he miss on anyone last year who he really wanted?
Not that I can think of. Because I mean, do you start on Watford, but you end up with Lester and Precious.
Right. I guess you could say, did he miss on Watford?
Not really. When you come up with Lester and Precious, you really go 2-for-1 in that instance.
Right.
You understand? Because again, you know, getting Lester helped you bring in Precious. At one point, you wanted Lester and Watford, and they decided to go their separate ways. Obviously, so anyway, you end up in a better spot. Precious is going to be we think right now a top 10 draft pick.
Right.
You know, some people have got Watford in the lottery; others have got him as a first rounder. Some people don't have him in at all. So I think you upgraded there. So I you can't call that a miss.
You
can't call Watford a miss because you upgraded.
He missed on some dudes his first year when he just got in there, had not formed relationships. But then since then, I mean, I guess you could say. He missed on Terrence Clark because he wanted him, right? And then the kid's going to Kentucky.
It's 21. That's 21 down the line, too. You know, they're still, but yeah, I mean, if you want to.
Well, he's sort of conceding there a little
correct.
bit.
Correct.
But
it's these ones, I mean, the ones you say missed, it's when you go in, you're the final three, right, and you're still doing the visits up till the end, and you're all the way in. I mean, those are the ones, and there haven't been any of those.
Okay.
That we can, yeah.
Other all right. Than now, Ramsey. Also on the website, this publication that I cannot name for fear that a trap door will open up and swallow me and I will be lost forever.
Don't do it.
I won't name it. I wouldn't risk the trap door. But Seth Davis has a mailbag. And in the mailbag, the first question is, why are the Memphis Tigers being overlooked, not top 10 by national writers, even though they have the number one recruiting class? Duke and Kentucky do this year in, year out, and return less experience.
Oh, I mean, that's my question.
Yet always are in the top three.
Let's see what his answer is.
Is it skepticism on Penny's coaching ability, even mm-hmm. though he improved the team from 162 to 53 in KenPom just by adding sub 100
This
freshmen.
Person did a great job of that question.
It is a great question.
They listen to 92.9.
I think that's 92.9.
Or just do it is, plenty of homework and should have their own show.
The question is from Robert R. Shout mm-hmm. out to Robert
good,
R.
Good job, bro. You nailed it.
What do you think he would have said there?
Penny's
What's the correct answer?
The correct answer is we don't believe in Penny. That's what those national guys are doing. Because to that point, we've hit this on this time and time again. When it's Duke and Kentucky with those classes, number one, you've got them in the top five, top six, at least the top 10. When it's Penny Hardaway with the number one class, you don't. And we've seen them as low as 19 and some. Not gonna sit here and go, oh my gosh, let's get out in the streets and pick it because they're number 19. I think you'd be fair anywhere between 10 and 15. I thought they were top 10 when Rajon Tucker was coming. Because you liked that experience that he brought. And again, a team full of freshmen is going to rely as heavily as this one. We haven't seen many of those win national championships. We've seen it time and time again where they come up short. So all of that said, though, I lost my train of thought because I was rolling. That train was rolling.
You were.
And I had to go back to
anyway,
the
– Anyway, but you
I said it all right
you
there.
Think they well, are
so
being
you asked me, what
under,
do I think Seth
think
said?
They are. Being,
they are.
Here's what he said.
Let's see what he said.
He said, first of all, I don't know if others are looking over Memphis, but I'm certainly not. I ranked the Tigers number six in my updated preseason top 25 following the NBA draft deadline. Team might be young, but it is more future NBA talent than any other in the country.
True statement.
That's reason enough to take a gamble and put the Tigers in the top 10.
Good he for
then goes,
Seth.
He then goes on to talk about the players who flamed out, the Chris Mullins and the Danny Manning's on life support at Wake and Drexler and et cetera else. Tony Bennett, obviously the former NBA player, he's done okay for himself. Avery Johnson just got fired.
Did not do well at Alabama.
Did not do well. But then he goes on to say this. But really what we're talking about here is Penny Hardaway. The second year Memphis coach has done a great job assembling elite talent, but the big question he faces is can he manage it? Notice I didn't ask whether he can coach it. I have no doubt that Hardaway knows the game. But managing all the action outside the lines, dealing with press coverage, social media, nettlesome parents, and the like, will be an enormous challenge. It's the one area where his inexperience could be most problematic. Your thoughts?
I like what Seth wrote. I've said, too, that Penny's greatest challenge is getting all these guys to buy in. I've said that right here with you. So I'm sort of in line with him. I think Seth, for a change, has his finger on the pulse. It's probably because he's been talking to John Martin. That's what it sounds like. That's what it sounds like to me.
Penny also said he was asked if that's – are you concerned with who might be – because I needed a Q&A with Penny. He said, are you concerned with who might be in your players' ears? Absolutely, that's the one thing you have to deal with when you have a really good team of talented five stars. You don't know who kids are listening to. Everyone's mm-hmm. family is in for the team, but they're also for the kid, and there's not a lot of families that are preaching team, team, team. They're preaching, hey, you need to get your work done so you can be seen
so
in
you can
a
get out of
light,
here. Go to the
so
league.
You can get out of here, literally get out of here, and move on to the next level. I understand our biggest task is this chemistry and keeping the kids' heads level. They're going to be seeing a lot of things on social media. I've been talking to my kids about that more than anything because that's the one thing that can destroy the team.
I wonder if you could. You can't get him to shut down social media, but it would sure help during the season.
Do you think so?
To stay out, to stay off of it.
Do you? I guess
because the kids then would, you know, they'll go back to the rooms, go check it out anyway, and you probably end up creating a bigger problem.
Do you predict that chemistry will be a problem?
Well, chemistry can be a problem for all teams with this kind of talent. The question comes down to the coach. You and I have talked about this. You know, if it's Cal or Kay, they buy in, and they wait to complain until they're done and after, until they're gone. We're going to see if Penny holds that kind of power as well. And look, one thing helping him is clear is the staff, right? You got a staff that's the Tony's been through it 20-something years. He's seen it all. You've got Mike Miller, who's done the same, you know, considered one of the greatest shooters the NBA's ever seen. So guys going to look at him. I mean, look at Boogie that lost to him in a shooting contest. I mean, you want to be a hooper. You got, you know, you're getting advice from two of the best to ever put the shorts on. Let's just be real. Penny a point guard and Mike is a shooter. So that awe, that reverence for those guys, right? This is important. That look up to is what hopefully for Penny is going to keep those kids in line and from challenging him and for listening to those vultures, right, and sort of sacrificing that and saying this is the best thing for the team. And in the meantime, those scouts that see me sacrificing, right, that see me, they're going to appreciate that. That's what Penny and Mike are going to be able to explain to those guys. They know which – this is what Cal tells his kids all the time. We know you could go out there and average 25. The scouts know that. They want to see you fall in and be a part of a team. Show that at times you can be a role guy or at times you can step up and be the guy. That's what – these scouts aren't dumb. You know, the fact that – because you don't have 30 out there that night.
Right.
That's not what they're looking for,
exactly.
Brother. It is not what they're looking for. Penny and Mike and that staff, Tony Mallott, can explain that and break it down. So that is the key to this, Jeff, that he holds that same kind of reverence that a K and a Cal would over these kids.
And
period.
I think, honestly
– Bill Self is the same way.
It was one of the things in the Bahamas that I was – because you don't really – we don't get to spend a lot of time with Penny and the kids generally as we cover them. We see them during the games and we see them in the post-game press conference, but
right.
We don't really.
Oh, yeah, I get that.
And so one of the things that was sort of nice about being in the Bahamas was you got a little more just hanging out with everybody. And one of the things that came through, and obviously it's the story I've told before, when Boogie tells one of the little kids from the Bahamas, he said, see that guy, he's better than Kyrie. You do get a sense of the reverence mm-hmm. with which they hold, in which they hold Penny Hardaway.
Yeah.
Like there is a reverence there, which is, I mean, I'm not even going to Tubby. If you go to Josh, it's the opposite.
It is.
It was very little regard for
Well,
Josh.
And the doubt started
affection.
To build,
yeah.
Right? The doubt started to build. And even with Tubby, a future Hall of Famer, has the game passed him by? You know what I mean? Does he recruit the right kind of player to win at this level today or get this kind of fan base excited? So you could poke holes in it. And once that doubt starts, right, that gives those players the reason to start questioning.
And then they start listening to everybody
exactly.
in their ear.
So Penny's got to keep that, right? Keep it strong, keep that line fortified that now you're not going to – I'm not going to give you those holes to punch in me. There will be no doubt here. You'll listen to me and believe what I'm saying.
Who should feel – rank how the fan bases of these three teams should feel about their quarterback, okay?
Okay.
The Memphis Tigers and Brady, the Chicago Bears and Mitchell, and the Carolina Panthers and Cam.
Oh, my gosh.
Who should feel best?
Why don't I throw the Bills and Josh Allen in there, too? Y'all probably feel the best.
He at least won a game.
You guys probably feel the best right now.
Yeah,
that's why.
Well, Brady
it's
won
an obvious
games.
Answer
Brady's won two games.
Oh, my gosh.
Who do you feel – who should feel best and who should feel worst about their quarterback situation? Jeffrey, you can answer that, too.
I can tell you this. Cam's done physically. That thing's only going down from here. He ain't coming back and taking you to some suit. He's going to get back to Superman form all of a sudden and take you to a Super Bowl.
Jeffrey makes the point that Andrew Luck started slow.
That trajectory's downward.
And he, by the way, I have to apologize to you.
Why?
You were right about the Titans, and I was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You were 100%.
Well, a lot of things have broke their way, too.
You were right about the Titans, and I think that
people underestimate that defense, too.
Well, and I think people overestimated it, appears, the Cleveland. I mean, it does appear that, but they still
they could still come back and be a good team, Cleveland.
The problem is their offensive line is going to stink, and it's always going to stink. It's not that offensive line is not going to get to be good. And
Titans offensive line?
No,
Cleveland's. Yes,
Cleveland's
that's
offensive
true.
Line is not going to be good, and he doesn't believe in Freddie Kitchens. I do apologize. You were absolutely right on the Titans, and I was
100%
wrong.
It's one game in.
I don't believe in a team that cut their left tackle knowing that no one was going to pick him up. Their starting left tackle, they cut him. No one picked him up,
right.
And then they re-signed him at the lesser rate. Like, that's a tough
one. And I've said this before. For me, the tell was when they gave up a draft pick for a guy the Bills were going to cut. Like, if they traded for Wyatt Teller, they gave up a...
Well, my whole thing is just line up and play football, too, because Beckham and Landry are too worried about wearing the same matching earring for the, you know, brotherhood days at LSU and wearing that
watch.
And it's too much worried about the look, right, and not enough worried about just lining up and playing football for me. And I'm not sure Kitchens can handle that. The right coach could pull him back. Hey, man, let's get back to football. We're about
can
earrings and watches.
That freaking watch.
But he's not the right coach. Yeah, let's forget watches and earrings.
Jeffrey,
how people
should feel about their quarterback situation, those three. Fan base is feeling about their quarterback situation.
It's Brady White's getting it done.
I think
he's got to win the big game.
I think you have to go. I think
Brady's
you have to go,
won.
But
Brady's
he's
number one.
He's winning.
Brady, yeah. Mitchell, Cam.
That's the correct answer. That's where the way I would have gone. That's why I put Cam at the end.
Are you out on Mitchell, or was it a bad game?
No, it was a bad game, and Nagy didn't help him by not playing in the preseason, something I told you when it was happening was wrong, that we were not – this guy was not throwing in the preseason. He's not Aaron Rodgers. He's not Tom Brady. He hadn't arrived. And even Tom Brady they play. Like, they get the rust off. Aaron, you saw it come off in the fourth possession. Then he's, you know, throwing bombs, and it was enough to win the game against our great defense. Trubisky had a third-best QBR in the league last year.
And he's healthy.
Look at him down the stretch against Philadelphia. He put us in position to win the game. That's what I want, a quarterback that is going to put us in position when it's on him. Right. And there can't be any running the ball at this point. Right. You're down. He got us in position. We just missed the dang field goal. The potential is there. I'm still at the point where it's hope and not belief, Jeff, just like that, what you posed.
I'm still that way with Josh.
With Josh.
Okay, I'm going after this radio show. I'm going down to – there's a Southern Heritage Classic luncheon down at the Sheraton.
Fred Jones Treasure, City Treasure.
So one thing that strikes me about the Southern Heritage Classic is how inept I am every time I try to cover it. I haven't covered it a lot over the years, and it's because...
Well, they don't make it easy in your defense now. The SIDs at both schools, you want to do a feature on a couple of the players, it's hard to get in touch. But the resources
there. Well, the
other
thing is...
I'm not sure if that was the point you were going, but they don't...
It's the same reason people say, why don't you write more about the Redbirds, right? It's a party. Like, the Redbirds are a place where
That's
you go to drink beer and whatever.
It's a seasonal party.
People really,
all year long.
It's two teams from out of town, so it's not like in-town fan bases who are going to read the thing or whatever. I don't really sense those fan bases are going to read the Daily Memphian one way or another, right? And or with the CA before that when I was there. And, Mike, it is amazing. I looked at the schedule. They got... Every single day, there's three things happening.
Oh, it's a week-long event. It's not just the game, right?
But it's a party.
Right.
That's what it is. And something that Michael Donahue would cover more than a...
Yeah, they have the ball more than anything else.
And what happens is your classic person who doesn't really understand it, like me, I did the cliche band story. You know, I did the story in the bands.
You can't go wrong on doing the band story.
You do the band story.
Half of us go just for the Battle of the Bands.
How much have you ever been?
I used to go all the time when I was a kid. Used to jump the fence, getting there for free. Yeah, I used to break the law getting there because it was so overcrowded. You could jump the fence and get in there, you know, not have a ticket. So me and my boys, we'd all go and do it that way.
Did you have a team that you cared
It was
about?
The place to be. Well, I went to TSU for a semester.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
And so, yes, it was TSU that I was in there rooting for, and the aristocratic bands.
How much do people at TSU care about it?
Oh, wait, anybody who's graduated from those two schools, this is a huge weekend. We've got friends who a couple of weeks ago we were out on their farm out in Fayette County. They're coming in because they've got family. You know, they went to TSU, went to Jackson State, and that's the thing every year. And because last year got rained out, there's a little bit of a man. We got to get back to it this year. Like it's not Jeff. It's I know people have told you this and it's cliche, but it's not just the game. It's literally the tailgating.
That's what I mean.
It's seeing all the same faces every year. It's kind of like a reunion every year for all of these graduates, all these alumni, and it's kind of where we can all kind of get back together and say, man, remember when we were hearing the horns and the hole? And, you know, that's the stadium over in Nashville for TSU and the hole. And it just takes you back to that old feeling. I've talked about that feeling, man. It's a part of Memphis that I guess for the folks that are the 55 to 60 that do it every year, right, you know how special it is. Not all of Memphis knows. Outside that central corridor right there, you know, you don't know how special it is to the people if you haven't been involved.
Who has the best band?
Well, I say the Aristocrat of Bands, but I have since seen some things that have led me. Now, I've got friends that were my roommate was in the band at TSU.
Really?
Yeah.
A
fabulous trombone player came out of Central High School. It's absolutely huge to be in the band at TSU.
Better than the Human Jukebox from Southern?
Yes. Now, if they still are in 2019, I couldn't tell you that.
There was a...
Because I've seen... Some people have sent me some stuff that says the Aristocrat of Bands has slipped since my time there.
There was
and
a...
since all my buds were in the band.
There was a documentary series on... I forgot which school it was. Had a... On these bands. There is not one that's universally acclaimed as better than the others?
Well, Florida A&M's back when I was in school was the biggest. I mean, they had they're marching 600 kids, and maybe I'm exaggerating, maybe it's 450 or but the number, I remember
Florida A&M was the biggest.
My bud talking about how big their numbers were. And when you're that big, you're that loud, right? And that was part of it, is who can get the loudest. I loved that ESPN in this special, we had Ivan Mazzello.
Ivan Mazzello, yeah.
And he's part of that. But that 150-year special they did, they talked about the HBCUs and how much there was a little section of it for them. It's sort of like we're talking about with this game to so many, that's not going to resonate at all. But they knew how special it was for a select group of people, and they talked about the bands. And that was the thing I found out when I went up there to school at TSU. My roommate, Toby, who played the trombone, and the man, they would get up at 5, 6 in the morning like the freaking football team and be marching through and sweating and going crazy. The work they put into those bands is you wouldn't believe it, Jeff. It's like a team. It's the work they put in is – and you know this from the band life, right? I mean, right. You got folks that play. But the work they put in to have to go out there and dance in those hot hats that they wear in those uniforms – brother, it blew me away. And if you witness it and feel it, it's something you remember.
Did you happen to read Jermel Hill's piece about? So she wrote a
recently?
Piece. Jermel Hill wrote a piece for the Atlantic this week, saying that black athletes should no longer go to white powerhouse schools and should go to the historically black colleges because they're just being taken advantage of and exploited by, and her argument was they should go back to the Florida A&Ms and the Tennessee States and whatever else. That was her argument. Honestly, it was an interesting argument.
It is interesting.
But it's so impractical. Like, it's not going to happen.
How about we just fix amateurism in what we got right now?
How about we just fix amateurism?
Yeah. And
you think the California thing is gonna push this?
Well, that's kind of like saying they got a problem. You understand what I'm saying? The NCAA. So why don't we just go back and just do us? You know what I'm saying? And you'll still have the NCAA. We'll still have the problem. When we can fix that, and it helps us, it helps everybody. You understand what I'm saying
right.
with that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I it was an interesting piece. I'd urge you to read it. But I mean, Jamel's good.
Oh, absolutely will.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks, brother.
Yep. So, Jeffrey. Those three quarterback situations.
Yes, sir.
What's the right order?
I think you got to say it's Brady at this point.
And how do you feel if you're Memphis?
I in general agree with you. Like, Brady goes as kind of the team goes, but I don't really think that Brady, I'm not sure he necessarily elevates them, but I don't think he necessarily hurts them either.
Okay. How do you feel if you're Trubisky? That was a pathetic performance.
It was a dreadful performance. I think my bigger concern is the game plan that we saw Mike Pettine in Green Bay that they went with against Trubisky, which was essentially this kid cannot throw. We're going to go man-to-man coverage, and we're just going to pressure him, and he cannot make the throws. If Trubisky can't beat that type of defense, he's in big trouble. Like, that was essentially...
That would make an argument. The argument would be that Cam has done it before. Like, we've seen Cam do it before.
Correct.
So even though he's injured, it's the argument you were just making.
Correct.
Even though he's injured, so was Andrew Luck. He can come back. He can be an effective quarterback. We've seen it. We've never really, for an extended period, seen... Trubisky was better last year, but we've never seen him be...
They masked a lot of what he did. But we saw a year where Blake Bortles got a team to the AFC Championship game, and the concern I would have if I were a Bears fan is a lot of the same type of defensive, a lot of the same defenses that we saw coordinators use against Bortles, we're seeing against Trubisky, which is a complete utter lack of respect.
Here's a separate question, and this one was brought up by Mike Greenberg. So the Jets have their own quarterback problem, right?
Yes, Darnold's their quarterback has mono.
Has Darnold, and I don't know if you saw the New York Post cover. Mm-hmm. It was the Post or the Daily News? It was.
What was the Post?
It was basically they put lipstick all over because, of course, mono is known as the kissing disease. Mm-hmm. So they put lipstick all over his face and they have him tucked into bed like a 15-year-old who has mono. But anyway, so Trevor Siemian's going to be the quarterback. The Jets very easily could, if you look at their schedule, they could be done, toast soon, right? If they are toast soon, let's say they said, call up the Jets schedule. If the Jets start... at some woeful 0-4 with Trevor Siemian as their quarterback, okay? Do they go ahead and trade Le'Veon Bell or try to trade Le'Veon Bell?
He got the clean bill of health from the MRI yesterday. I still think that it's going to be very difficult to try to trade a running back with that kind of contract.
That's the thing. So, first of all, Greenberg was stipulating, which I think he was misguided here. He said... This is his point. He said, Le'Veon Bell, is wasted on a bad New York Jets team.
Right.
Without a quarterback. Do you have their schedule?
Yes, I do.
What is it?
So they have the Browns on Monday night.
Right.
They go to the Pats.
Yeah.
To Philly.
Okay, so that's 0-4 right there. If the Browns rebound.
Correct.
Right, that's their most winnable game.
Cowboys okay. at home.
Oh, God. 0-5.
Pats at home.
0-6.
At the Jags.
Okay. So 0-6. So let's just say they start 0-6 or 1-5, right?
Sure.
Le'Veon Bell on that team is not only is he a luxury, he is, at that point, you're really, I'm just telling you as a fan, I'm in it for the draft pick again, right?
Yes.
If not, because I'm going to draft a quarterback, either because I'm going to be in a position to have a pick that I can, someone else is going to trade up and give me a ransom for the quarterback.
Sure.
Or I can get whatever. I can get a pass receiver or a pass rusher or whatever. They need corners. So he's a impediment because he's going to win some games for you.
Correct.
And so he was saying he's wasted. He's not only wasted, he's an impediment. And so you can get a king's ransom for him. And so you should go ahead and trade him for a king's ransom. And I think the place where his argument fell down was, I don't think you can get much for Le'Veon Bell.
I don't think you can get much for Le'Veon Bell.
If you can trade him at all.
And you could still have him next year. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he's only 26, I think.
Yeah. I don't know. That to me, you're not gonna get
anything meaningful
for him. Maybe you get a
second round pick or a third round pick or something if someone can fit him under the cap. I don't think it made any sense at all. But that's a team. Like there are some teams right now. Carolina's certainly one. Looks kind of doomed, right? Dolphins obviously doomed. Like who's doomed? Who right now? If you're a fan, are you already saying, "Oh, screw this year"?
I think you're right. I think those two teams look doomed. I think the
Jets are doomed. The Giants are doomed.
Yeah, but at least the Giants,
on paper,
they have Daniel Jones.
They have an interesting thing
to
watch this year.
Are
the Jags doomed?
Yeah. I mean,
are they doomed?
I guess you could still say for this year, yes, they're doomed. I mean, I love Garner Minshew, but I'm not really banking on my boy.
Is Denver doomed?
They look doomed to me. They look doomed to me because they look like they have the first-time head coach that Eric Edholm made this point. Part of the thing that made the Eagles so entertaining under Doug Peterson is Peterson got the job as the head coach, and he treated it as if this does not work, I'm probably never going to get another head coaching job. Like, the odds are I'm not. So I'm just going to, coach it as if this is, I'm going all out. And Fangio, you would have maybe thought, would have taken the same approach. But the approach that he's taken is very, football guy-y. Right. And you look at their offensive scheme, it looks very, very, very dated.
Cautious. Is Atlanta doomed?
I'm willing to write that one off as an aberration. They played.
You wouldn't say they were doomed. It was just basic on paper. It's just they had an atrocious opening game.
Right. The way they looked in week one, Minnesota's got a good defense, and Minnesota was able to run the football. They forced three turnovers. I'm not willing to say that Atlanta's doomed. I think they ran into a buzzsaw week one.
All right. If you are noticing cracks in the walls of your home, if you've got any kind of a problem with the structural integrity of your home, let's be clear. That's what we're talking about here. If you've got issues around your foundation or around water coming in somewhere or concrete leveling or any of the sort of basic structural issues with your home, Redeemers Group is the place to call. 541-8765. 541-8765. Local company. It's been doing this for a long time. You can trust them, and you can also know that they will come to your house for free to check it out. And to me, that's the key. Good company. You're worried about something, you can get it checked out for free. Why wouldn't you? 541-8765 is Redeemers Group. They'll come out. They'll give you their expert analysis, let you know if you have a problem. If you do have a problem and you want to fix it, just mention my name, Jeff Calkins, and you will get an additional $50 off. But there's no reason not to call. Call them today, 541-8765, or on the web, redeemersgroup.com. When we come back, Chris Harrington is going to join us, and Jeffrey Wright is going to make you rich. Jeff Calkins Show, back in a moment.
Get more 92.9. Download the radio.com app now and make sure your favorite 92.9 FM ESPN Memphis.
Access granted. Welcome to Flash. Ignition activated. Implementing instant play sensor system.
Prepare to engage in fun at warp speed in T-minus 3, 2, 1. Flash forward to the fun with new Flash Instant Games. Loaded with cash prizes, play today and you could win up to $1,000 in a flash. The new cash-packed Flash Instant Games. Only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
Here's your chance to play three times a day and once on Sundays with the Tennessee Lottery. With Cash 3 and Cash 4, your favorite numbers can win you anywhere from $500 on Cash 3 up to $5,000 on Cash 4. So plan to play your favorite numbers. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3, 4. And save time using the convenient mobile playslip on your Tennessee Lottery app. Build and save your playslip to use again and again at your favorite lottery retailer. Only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
Did you know nearly 40% of men under 40 and over 75% of men over the age of 40 experience sexual performance concerns? At the Memphis Men's Clinic, their experienced physician performs a comprehensive evaluation that determines which specific issues may interfere with your sexual performance.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.